This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This show is brought to you by Pfizer Malaysia, bringing science-based solutions to healthcare.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Meera Sevisodhi. Our focus today is a drug that changed the lives of many men, many couples. We will follow this drug as it passed from scientists working hard in labs to men staying hard in bed to children enjoying a short run in the park. This is a drug that neurologist Dr. George Lee describes as...
it's almost as close as utopia as possible. If you imagine a medication that has an efficacy of about 80%, a medication that specifically targets one organ, that actually have minimal side effects beyond that organ, this drug, it will take effect within 30 minutes or so, and it serves its purpose. It's almost a bespoke, tailor-made medication.
George is describing sildenafil, more commonly known as the blue pill. It is a first-line therapy for erectile dysfunction, or ED. When sildenafil launched in March 1998, men across the world stood up and hit blockbuster sales within months. Sildenafil transformed the landscape of sexual health, especially so for men.
Before 1998, the world in the treatment of erectile dysfunction is very, very different. Before this time, the men who suffer from erectile dysfunction, at best, we are thinking about something like a penile prosthesis, for example, which is a fake penis, which is incredibly invasive and incredibly expensive to put into the penis for men who suffer from this condition.
For ED patients, the alternative to inserting a fake penis was to grab a syringe and inject certain drugs into their penis before sex. When sildenafil came in 1998, it gave men a no-fuss solution to ED. They just needed to pop the pill about an hour before and the action starts.
Well, that means it was less painful for the ED patients to receive treatment. They were no longer needing to inject themselves.
That was Dr. Yong Junina Fadzil, a pediatric cardiologist. And how did we jump from erectile dysfunction to a heart doctor? Well, because sildenafil is used to treat pulmonary arterial hypertension in adults and children, that's when the pressure rises too high in the blood vessel that carries blood from the heart to the lung. In fact,
essentially, what we use to treat these children with pulmonary hypertension is what physicians and general practitioners use to treat adults with erectile dysfunction.
Which makes a nice circle, because when scientists started on sildenafil, they weren't thinking about restoring erections. They were concerned with the heart. So how did sildenafil research slip from the heart to the penis and now back to the heart and lungs again? That's the journey we will take today. At the end, we ask if it's worthwhile to invest our efforts and train our focus on erectile dysfunction when so many other life-threatening diseases remain untackled. In 1985, in a small town called Sandwich in the United Kingdom, scientists were screening chemicals for a drug to treat cardiovascular disease.
There's constant quest to deal with patients who suffer from heart conditions, and that includes high blood pressure, and that includes angina pectoris. Angina is a condition where men or women get chest pain whenever the blood supply to the heart is depleted or deficient. So you imagine that when the vessels are constricted, then they get this angina.
One team of scientists was led by Dr. David Brown. Here is Brown speaking at the Enterprise Tuesday lecture series at the Centre of Entrepreneurial Learning, University of Cambridge, on November 2011. He describes the project when it began in the mid-1980s.
I only had three chemists working on this project. It was very low priority and seen as high risk. Frankly, nobody wanted the project for most of the time I was working on it. It was a pretty tough thing.
What they were looking for was a drug that could widen blood vessels, a process called vasodilation. And how wide or narrow a blood vessel is depends on a network of smooth muscles inside the wall of the blood vessel itself. When these smooth muscles contract, the blood vessel is squeezed tighter, building up pressure and making it harder for blood to flow. If the smooth muscles stay contracted and restrict blood flow, eventually the heart would fail. Scientists thought that if they have a drug that could relax the smooth muscles and so widen the vessel, then blood would flow smoothly. And in 1986, two scientists, Louis Ignaro and Robert Fishgott, proved that the gas nitric oxide ticks off a cascade of events that does just that.
In the presence of nitric oxide, it will cause a stimulatory effect on a small enzyme called guanylate cyclase,
which in turn produces a lot of compound called cyclic GMP inside the smooth muscle cell. And cyclic GMP, through its action on calcium ions and other enzymes inside the cell, will cause the smooth muscle to relax. So the more cyclic GMP there is in the cell, the longer the smooth muscle stays relaxed and the blood vessels widen.
Degradation of cyclic GMP is determined by one enzyme called PDE5. PDE5 stands for phosphodiesterase.
When phosphodiesterase 5 or PDE5 breaks down cyclic GMP inside the smooth muscle cell, the muscle cell will contract and not relax. So scientists like David Brown searched for a chemical that could stop PDE5. They were hunting for phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitor. After screening more than 1,500 compounds, they finally found it in 1989.
At that time, sildenafil didn't even have a name. It only had a label as UK92480.
2 years later, UK92480 entered clinical trials for angina. If you recall, angina is a condition where the heart receives insufficient blood.
We started phase two trials in angina. I was leading this team for 2 years going through these trials. The bottom line was we were heading for failure because I had not been given enough money by the management to recruit enough patients to do a big enough trial to show the drug is effective.
There was another complication. Nitrates are common, quick-action treatment for angina. But if the patient receives both nitrates and sildenafil, his blood pressure would drop too much. The sildenafil project was walking off the edge of a cliff.
It got to the summer of 1993, and the head of R&D said to me, David, come back in 3 months. You know, you've wasted enough time and money. We're going to kill this in September if you've not got good results in angina. I think it was about 2 weeks after that, we were doing another pharmacokinetic study in Cardiff.
And at the end of the Cardiff study, the participants had to report how they responded to sildenafil.
The Clinical Research Associate gave them a questionnaire to fill in at the end of the trial, and nothing remarkable on it at all. And then she asked a question she was meant to ask. It's an open question. Did you notice anything else? And one of them put the hand up and said, I seem to have more erections overnight than usual. And they were all men in the trial, and all the others said, yeah, so did we.
Thanks to those men, we discovered that sildenafil improves erections. So remember, it pays to be frank and honest with your doctor.
So with further analysis, it realizes that suddenly it woke up an organ that perhaps has been sleeping for a long time. It's because the PDE5 enzyme actually resided inside the penis. So whenever this drug intended for the heart, it went to the different place and actually induces vasodilation. From that point onwards, the drug is specifically tried on a group of patients who suffered from erectile dysfunction.
But what does sildenafil do in a penis to give rise to a longer-lasting heart or erection?
If you imagine a man's penis, I know it's difficult to imagine that, but it all boils down to two cylinders.
These twin cylinders run from the base of the penis to the tip.
Most of the time, these cylinders are not filled with blood. They are flaccid. They're filled with sponge.
When a man is sexually stimulated, nerves in his penis release nitric oxide that dilates two blood vessels in the penis.
So during stimulation, two blood vessels will open up and all the blood will go in. The sponge will absorb as much blood as possible and suddenly will close off the valve and make sure that the blood is trapped in there. And that is a process of erection. So for men who suffer from erectile dysfunction, that blood vessel is hardened and that makes those blood vessels very difficult to dilate. And the help of sildenafil will ensure perfusions of the blood into the penis and make sure that corpus spongiosum is filled with blood and make sure that erection is rock hard.
Sildenafil delivered stunning performance in clinical trials. More than 80% of patients reported better erections within an hour or two and mild side effects like headaches and indigestion.
Things also got very difficult with the patients. We'd given them the drug for 7 days. They had one assessment inside a clinic and then had taken the drug home. And then after 7 days, they wouldn't give the drugs back. Surprise, surprise. But we had to get it back, otherwise we were legally responsible. So I had a letter from one that I'll never forget. Basically, you know, he said, you have to understand, you know, I'm sorry I haven't given you the drug back, but you have to understand my wife and I are having a sex life for the first time for years, and this means an enormous amount to us, and you're asking me to give this drug back.
In March 1998, sildenafil was approved and launched as a novel oral treatment for erectile dysfunction. At that time, a pill sold for $8 or slightly more than three Big Macs. Within 4 months, sildenafil had racked up $400 million in sales. A new blockbuster drug was born and it remains so today.
That day truly is quite memorable as a landscape change in medicine for the treatment of men with erectile dysfunction. And I really think that this probably will come as one of those landmark changes that change the landscape of medicine.
Judging by how effective, safe and easy it is, sildenafil might just qualify as a wonder drug for erectile dysfunction. Up next, we follow sildenafil as scientists bring it away from the penis to another blood-filled organ, the heart. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Health and Living and I'm Meera Sivisodhi. Sildenafil is a first-line drug for erectile dysfunction because it effectively widens blood vessels in the penis and allows more blood to flow into an erection. Sildenafil does this by inhibiting an enzyme called PDE5 from breaking down another compound called cyclic GMP. When there is more cyclic GMP in the cells, the blood vessels are wider and blood flows better. In the years after sildenafil's launch, scientists tested it against pulmonary arterial hypertension.
Pulmonary arterial hypertension is actually a very rare condition. In most parts of the world, it's between 2 to 7 per million people.
That was Dr. David Quack, a cardiologist. The pulmonary artery is the blood vessel that carries blood low in oxygen from the right side of the heart to the lungs to get oxygen. In people with pulmonary arterial hypertension, the pressure in their pulmonary arteries exceeds 25 milligrams of mercury, higher than the 8 to 12 found in a normal person.
Well, some people complain of vague chest discomfort. They find that they can walk a few steps and they start feeling breathless. But a lot of them actually come and see us normally in their 20s or 30s when they have difficulty breathing. When you check the heart, okay, the right side of the heart becomes enlarged. Then when you check further, you find that it is because the pressure buildup starts actually from the lung blood vessels. And it's not the big ones in the beginning. It's actually the small arterioles and all that. And there are many causes to that. The principal cause is that for some reason, the blood vessels there have a reaction where the smooth muscle becomes thickened. And because of that, it actually undergoes a very tight situation where the pressure then builds backwards into the right side of the heart. It can be quite devastating, especially young childbearing women. With this condition, if they do get pregnant, the risk is extremely high that they will not be able to carry the baby to term.
Children with pulmonary arterial hypertension show similar symptoms as adult patients. Dr. Yong Junina Fadzila, pediatric cardiologist, describes one of her 12-year-old patients.
My most recent patient was an otherwise well, articulate, intelligent child who suddenly started feeling tired and breathless. And when the GP, she listened to the heart and she heard a loud second heart sound, and that indicated that the pulmonary artery pressures were high. And so the child was referred to our pediatric cardiology unit. And when we did the echocardiogram, we discovered that she indeed didn't have pulmonary hypertension. There was nothing before that to suggest that the child was unwell. So she was started on sildenafil without any trial of any other drugs because she really was too well to go to ICU.
Remember that sildenafil inhibits the enzyme PDE5 and widens blood vessels, thereby lowering blood pressure.
Although the PDE5 is found also in all parts of the heart muscle, it's actually more in the pulmonary arterial wall and also in the right side of the heart, rather than the left. There are some on the left. When you use sildenafil, it actually increases the cyclic GMP and therefore it leads to more opening of the blood vessel called a vasodilation.
Just like in adults, a similar effect is seen in children. And today, it is generally accepted that we use sildenafil for pulmonary hypertension in children. We can give oxygen. Oxygen is a vasodilator. But that means the child will have to walk around with an oxygen tank, which they do sometimes if we can't control it purely with sildenafil. So with sildenafil, we can at least offer the child a chance of leading a normal life while taking oral medication, and we can alleviate breathlessness and easy fatigability.
Newborn and infants can also suffer from persistent pulmonary hypertension. Treatment is a lot harder with these fragile patients.
In fact, when I was a young medical officer, a lot of these children died because there was no effective treatment other than pushing up the ventilator settings. Those who survive often ended up with lung damage because we had to use very high pressures when we ventilated them. So we had to look for means and ways of treating them with minimal damage to their lungs.
Pediatricians could also give inhaled nitric oxide to infants.
Inhaled nitric oxide also worked, but nitric oxide given in this manner requires a very elaborate piece of machine and costs a lot of money.
But it's a very expensive way to do it. You need to have the steady supply of nitric oxide. And up to now, there are very few centres in the world that has it, you know.
Whereas sildenafil is given orally so that it could be offered as an alternative, especially in cash-strapped centres or centres that do not have the machinery to run inhaled nitric oxide.
Then later, we develop more specialised medications which work quite well in terms of opening up the blood vessels. And those will be things like your bosentan, your ambrisentan, but they tend to be very expensive. If it is not subsidized, it will be around 12,000 to 16,000 ringgit a month.
That's 12,000 to 16,000 ringgit a month.
Yeah, it's frightfully expensive. The results, to be fair, for when you're using those drugs seem to be a little bit better.
Compared to other drugs, sildenafil offers a more affordable treatment for pulmonary arterial hypertension. The starting dose for an adult patient is 20 milligrams of sildenafil 3 times a day.
So you can go up to 80 milligrams 3 times a day. Because this condition essentially will deteriorate over time. It's not curable.
Remember that sildenafil is also sold as a drug to treat erectile dysfunction, but it comes in different dosages compared to the ones for pulmonary arterial hypertension.
The manufacturer has manufactured the product in 20, 40, 80 milligram, specifically to use for this condition. On the other hand, the one that is used for erectile dysfunction is in 50 and 100 milligrams.
Perhaps due to the much larger market for the high-dose ED pills, it's actually more economical for pulmonary arterial hypertension patients to get their sildenafil in the form of high-dose ED pills.
I don't mind telling you, I've got patients who actually cut it into 4. It won't be equal, but then they stagger it up. The only trouble is that it's very hard to cut the tablet into so many pieces. But that's a way of overcoming the cost issue in this country.
As for the children, the pharmacists would crush the ED sildenafil pills and make them into suspension of the correct dosage.
It's been very effective, but it's costly. The drug is not provided for by the government. Parents have to buy the medication. Given the fact that there's such a huge market for it to be used for erectile dysfunction, that may keep the price down so that we poor pediatric cardiologists can use it for our patients, and our patients will benefit from whatever research that has gone into this drug.
When men could buy sildenafil to treat erectile dysfunction, that eased the demand for other drugs that also widen blood vessels and promote blood flow. Drugs like prostaglandin E2 that cardiologists need for their patients.
Well, in 1998, I started to do pediatric cardiology. And I remember one night when I needed prostaglandin E2 to maintain the ductal patency of a newborn baby. And I called up the pharmacy. They said, "Doctor, we don't have the vials of prostaglandin. All that we have is alprostadil in syringes meant for the ED patients." And I actually had to take those to give it to my newborn patients. So some poor patient with ED couldn't get his prescription until they actually made a fresh batch. So yes, having sildenafil, I think, changed that landscape as well. It meant that I had my alprostadil to keep my doctors bitten, certainly.
Going by sildenafil sales alone, erectile dysfunction pills have been bringing in about $1.6 billion every year since 2003, while pulmonary arterial hypertension pills hovered around $500 million since 2008. If cash is king, it makes perfect sense to invest more resources into improving erectile dysfunction drugs like sildenafil. But erectile dysfunction doesn't kill. Should we focus more on life-threatening diseases? We asked Dr. George Lee, a urologist.
After 1998, we have a pill that can potentially solve the problem of erectile dysfunction, and that really revolutionized men's health treatment. Apart from that, it helps us understand about physiology of vasodilation and actually helping men to come forward. It helps us understand that the predisposing factors of erectile dysfunction such as diabetes, high blood pressure and so on actually will be the reason why men get erectile dysfunction. And more importantly, it also tells us that men who suffer from erectile dysfunction perhaps may have precursor of something more serious such as cardiovascular disease 2 to 3 years after manifestation of erectile dysfunction. I argue that the broken erection is an early sign of a broken heart. Therefore, it has many, many aspects that help men rather than just looking at that lifestyle effect of this medication.
Sildenafil's success motivated scientists to check if it could do more than widen blood cells. Because sildenafil enhances the effects of two key chemical messengers in our body, nitric oxide and cyclic GMP, it also seems involved in telling a cell to grow or die.
In a disease process, it tends to be an overgrowth of these pulmonary arterial smooth muscle cells. When you use sildenafil for a while, it seems that it can help to decrease growth of the smooth muscle cells that we talk about. And it actually helps to break down this so-called apoptosis, what we call a programmed cell death. After a little while, all the different types of cells in our body will automatically die when the time comes. And that's what you call an apoptosis. It just sort of die off. So it's a good regeneration so that the cell dies nicely without an inflammatory process.
To date, scientists have shown that sildenafil can inhibit the growth of cancerous cells of leukemia, colon and breast. Sildenafil also helps to keep certain anti-cancer drugs within the cell, which may help cancer patients respond better to chemotherapy. So, in 3 decades since 1985, when work began on sildenafil, the drug has touched the heart, the penis, back to the heart again, and now it is poised for a lot more. We really have to thank the people that strive to unravel the workings of our bodies, and that one patient in the summer of 1993 who confessed he enjoyed better but unexpected erections after taking sildenafil. You have been listening to Health and Living. I'm Mira Sevisodi, BFM 89.9.
This show is brought to you by Pfizer Malaysia, bringing science-based solutions to healthcare.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.